Good evening. The Literacy View is back to discuss another topic, but before we begin tonight, we'd like to just take a moment of silence to remember the victims of this latest tragedy in Texas and the victims and their families across our country for anyone who has suffered and lost someone to this senseless gun violence. And our thoughts and prayers are with parents and teachers and children all over the United States. We hope that action is taken and this never occurs again. Okay, Faith, do you want to explain tonight's topic?
Yes, thanks, Mary. So tonight we are going to talk about RTI. That stands for Response to Intervention, sometimes known as MTSS, Multi-Tiered System of Support. What we're going to be discussing tonight is how RTI is not always followed, and why this is the case, and what really can we do about this? Because a lot of children are going through a system where they're passed from grade to grade, and we're waiting for someone to make a decision, or a group of people to make a decision about whether a child will get services and what will happen to those children. So this is a very important topic that I'm very happy that we are addressing tonight. So how are we going to start?
You know, I guess I'll begin with one of my facts. So, you know, the IDA from 2004 allows parents, I don't think many parents know this, but allows parents to request a formal evaluation to determine special eligibility for special education at any time during that RTI process. So if the student is not making gains in tier two or tier three, the parents, you have the right to write a letter to your school district, and request a formal evaluation to find out why your child is not making the progress he or she deserves. Judy, what are your thoughts?
All right, so I have a lot of thoughts about RTI. So one of the issues that I see with RTI is a lot of people don't understand what the different tiering systems are and how they function. Now, I've been at PPTs where people have said, oh, the most intensive is tier one. No, tier one is the whole group instruction, the whole group explicit instruction that's supposed to happen for the entire class, right? Then there's also tier two instruction. Tier two instruction is instruction that can still take place in the class. It could be smaller group instruction, you know, for kids that are still struggling with a couple of concepts and so forth. But there's also something that's very important about tier one instruction. Like if you're using a program like Foundations and your class is really not understanding the concepts, you might not go straight to tier two instruction. You might revisit strengthening that core instruction in tier one and have to reteach concepts. And that's why, you know, I'm sure a lot of other programs have that, but like Foundations has a tracker that's called the reteach tracker. So you monitor the data of how the class did on the first attempt, you refine your practice, and then the kids take the test again. And it doesn't have to be in all areas. It could be in trouble spots. And then we also have tier three instruction, which is the most intensive instruction. And guess what? I've been at PPTs.
What are PPTs? Can I stop you there? What are those?
So, Faith, you want to chime in about the PPTs and so forth?
Well, I want to actually backtrack a bit, if you don't mind.
So just explain that acronym so our viewers know.
Tier 3 instruction.
No, PPT.
Oh, PPT.
So go ahead.
So the PPT is when there's a pupil personnel team meeting.
Okay.
So you see, you know, very often if a kid has an IEP, there's a meeting that's held to see how the level of instruction and is coming along for that child and whether the goals are being met or whether a child's goals need to be modified. Does the instruction have to be more intensive? Does it have to be rethought? Is the child meeting these bite-sized mini goals and so forth? But I think that's one of the most important pieces to think about is that there's different levels of RTI. And unfortunately, in the schools that I've been seeing, those systems and structures aren't working very well at all for those kids. And that's very, very problematic.
So I want to just take a step back a minute. So let's just talk about what tier one instruction is supposed to be. Tier one is supposed to help most of the students in the school. And that means at least 80% of students should be benchmarking if the instruction is working.
That's right.
And then if that's not working for some kids, and it should be a small amount of children, then let's say 15% of the students might need supplemental work in tier two, and then maybe 5% of the students would need that intensive instruction. But if you look at schools across the country, this triangle is upside down, where you have many children not functioning and meeting benchmark. And you have a lot of kids who need intensive work. So it's like triage at that point. Like, who do you help and how can you help so many kids? So I wanted to get that across, that the way to really judge if a program is working is if at least 80% of the students are benchmarking.
Right.
Meeting what the standards are. So I just wanted to clear that up for everyone.
And I agree with Faith 1,000%. The key to also know if your programs are working well is you need to collect your data and look at your data, because your data is telling you it's working, it's not working, it needs to be retaught, or we're getting what you're saying.
So I want to give a plug to the local school district in which I taught in Lakewood City Schools in Ohio. For our tier two and tier three students, they were progress monitored weekly or biweekly with Ames Web. And they were taken, it was just a quick check. Our Title I staff did it. So these were the reading teachers paid for with Title I funds. They would call the kids out. And then we had a really good idea of how these kids were doing with their oral reading fluency and so forth. So they were progress monitored, which I don't think happens across the country. With some of the students with whom I work, there is no progress monitoring going on. And we want a progress monitoring tool that is empirically valid, right? So we don't want, you know, we want something like a Dibbles or
Acadience is hot.
Or Acadience, yes, or Ames Web. So that was a really good thing that we did in Lakewood. The other really good thing we did in Lakewood was we had three teacher teams or two teacher teams, and then we would have that built in. The intervention schedule was built into our day. So at times for a 6-week period, I would be teaching, you know, the tier two or the tier three. So we would shift among our team and then the tier one. So we had a whole group of kids who were tier one, who were capable of doing a whole lot more. And oftentimes those kids were reading novels and we were doing a book study together for vocabulary comprehension and fluency. Whereas in the tier two and tier three were getting specialized instruction. Now, I have to say, I wasn't happy with what went on in tier two because we were using teacher college balanced literacy. They were not really getting
using was it LLI?
They were using, they were to bring their book baggies in and read. So they were reteaching in tier two, the Lucy Calkins lesson. And it didn't make any, those kids really made very little progress. Tier three in Lakewood, great. Those kids were getting Wilson. They were getting a scientifically based program to address their literacy needs, phonological awareness and phonics, et cetera.
So now let's go back again to tier one.
Right.
So what you said about Teachers College Reading and Writing Project as the intervention, they were just basically repeating, I suppose,
yes,
what they were doing in the gen ed classroom.
That's right.
Now, that's problematic on so many different levels because RTI is supposed to be where kids are receiving not only universal screening, that
that's
means
right.
that they all are being assessed with a benchmark, but also it's expected that evidence-based instruction is given
Amen.
To all the kids tier one. That means they're all getting something where there's a strong evidence base to start.
Well, and you know what, I hate to interrupt you, but we did do foundations. Lakewood implemented foundations for tier one. So everyone received that.
But
that was just tier one. And then when we broke off into intervention time, the tier one kids had literature, and then tier two, it was a rehash of Lucy Calkins.
That's strange that they would do foundations and not go into the either the reteach mode or into foundations has intervention, small group interventions.
So
I'm surprised that they made that decision.
Yeah, so the message is, I agree with you completely, Faye. You cannot use balanced literacy in your tier two and tier three intervention groups.
No, and because it's being used as the main intervention for many schools across the country, so even if there is a phonics program,
right,
along with the TC model of a mentor text and the groups and the literature circles, if you're doing all of that, in addition to the phonics, it gives the message to teachers that they could still instruct kids with the strategies that are used in TC. They're not going to necessarily use the phonics
right.
instruction.
But
and that's the problem. There's this mixed methods approach to teaching reading, especially in the early grades, K to two, mm-hmm. where teachers are teaching one way in phonics, but they're still reinforcing all these other strategies that are acceptable.
We have to give our teachers more credit. I'm in those classrooms every day. I still work for the New York City.
And I was too. So
And I do see shifts. I do see shifts. Even
okay, there
even,
might be a shift. Let me.
They're not looking at picture cues as much, Faith. They're not.
But they have to. Okay, go ahead, Faye.
And I know what you guys are thinking. I know.
No. But what I'm saying is, I know, Judy, that you jump in and you want to. I'm not attacking teachers when I say this. I'm talking about what is, and I'm not talking about giving teachers credit for knowing something different.
Right.
If they are using the BAS, the Fontes and Pinnell benchmark assessment, if they are using the reading project, mm-hmm. the project model,
right,
then what is tested is taught. This has nothing to do with a teacher decision or giving teachers credit, because that makes it sound like I'm undermining teachers when I'm not. So I want to be clear
not.
that annoys me. You know, that's not what I'm saying.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is we cannot ignore that tier one is the first step in making sure that evidence-based programs in both language comprehension and vocabulary, whatever we do, along with phonics, because nobody in the science of reading camp is saying that that doesn't exist. But in light of all the things that happened in this past week, what's happening in across the country and what's happening in New York, there's a reason they're throwing out TC. There's a reason.
Well, I hope, you know, people could say things. We still don't know what's going to happen. We have to wait. You know, the proof is in the pudding.
That's what was the public statement, that it was going to be tossed.
Right. But you know what? That's fine. It's going to be tossed. But I still see schools that are doing no curriculum. So what's better? Is it better to do no curriculum?
I don't see that as a choice. To
me. Right. And you know what? And guys, by law, and I know states differ in law, but you have to be using a research, evidence-based practice in tier two and tier three. And I might add that, going back to Faith's comment, that 80% of tier one should be successful, and that is the marker of your program's success. I would argue across our country that many, many districts who are using TC exclusively, they do not have an 80% met for tier one. They don't. So most of the children in balanced literacy are not made, they're not learning to read at a level where we reach 80% of the kids.
We would not have 64%, I think that's the number, of children not meeting grade level proficiency. If you look at the top strategies used, the top structures, it's all balanced literacy, whether it's the Fontenson-Pinel leveled reading, if it's—
Well, the reason we see that is because these schools are still making it part of teachers' ratings, unfortunately. You know, that's why they're linked to all these running records, and that's, you know, they want to move their data, right? But they're also shifting in terms of Acadians.
Is it moving their data?
But what'd you say?
Is it moving their data? You said they're using it because they want to move their data.
I'm seeing a lot of progress right now in New York City. I'm collecting data 24/7. I'm seeing a lot of progress on the Acadians. There is a big shift in data right now. Is it where the city wants to be? Not yet, but there is a tremendous shift. I see a lot of kids looking at nonsense words, and they're able to decode them quickly with automaticity now in kindergarten. That's a big shift. I didn't see that before that much.
But Acadians is a measure to give the school data.
That's right.
Until the instruction changes.
Right. It's only going to get better. Right.
The data's really not going to change. So again, we go back to what is the recipe for reading? Let's get reading right, because we know what it is. We know that you have to build the foundation. If you do not have phonics and phonemic awareness,
right,
beginning, and I'm not saying no vocabulary, no comprehension, no fluency. That starts when a baby's born. It starts before the baby's born with language comprehension. So guys, we have to do this right. K-1-2, all parents listening, no one should be in a leveled book unless they can read.
But that's not what our episode is about. Our episode is about RTI systems and structures. And
it goes back to that.
So RTI, this is why I think it's fake news. A lot of schools have an RTI system. Yay, gung-ho, we're going to start the year great. All of a sudden, teachers jump ship, teachers quit. All right, RTI is on hold. You're going in the classroom. And then there's fake RTI, right? A lot of schools have not enough people to do the RTI team. So it's like one person that's managing a whole bunch of kids, and they can't do it. And then they're pulled for testing. So what's happening to RTI there, right? There's a lot of problems.
And that I would agree with.
And the other thing is, a lot of people, they're like, okay, let's set some goals. And then they don't have time to progress monitor the goals. So 6 months later,
because
it says that they're going to be progress monitored and it's not happening.
But so you know what? I was always a teacher.
Let me finish, Mary, let me finish.
Teachers have no time to do that. They have no time.
So schools have to figure it out and they have to figure it out soon. And it can't continue like this. It cannot continue like this, that they're saying there's RTI and then we're making binders for superintendents. Here it is. It's not happening enough. I'm seeing a lot of kids that are going into third grade next year. They can't read. The system failed them. They don't have IEPs, some of these kids. They don't have intense intervention. And then everybody's, now the big word is dyslexia. Maybe some of them have dyslexia, but maybe a lot of them didn't have proper core instruction to begin with.
Well,
with
that's what we're talking about.
I agree with you.
So then and you know what? I've been in New York City schools for 24 years, and I have yet to see a very, very well-functioning RTI system. So if you guys have an idea of what it looks like.
Tier one. You can't do it all rests on the.
Okay, Faith, it's your turn.
Okay, so this all goes back to Gen Ed. This all goes back. RTI was a Gen Ed initiative, not a special ed initiative.
Right.
And so the whole idea was, we don't want to send so many kids to special ed. That was the whole point of RTI, that if we teach all kids with the right instruction, most of them should be able to read. So what's the problem? The problem is that the instruction is not working for a lot of the kids. Why? Because we don't have the right programs in place.
All right, but
we don't have the teachers who necessarily know how to do this because they're asked to do so many different things. They're not magicians. They're being given this. And what happens is we keep adding on to the teachers, piling it on more and more and more. Instead of saying, this doesn't work, remove this and put in what does, we think more is better. More is not better. Better is making sure that we have the right pieces in place, doing it right. And this way we can really see if there are kids with dyslexia. Right now, you can't even tell the difference. And I think that's what you were saying, Judy, that it's hard to even
I know there's some kids that we know are dyslexic, but some of them, the teachers will come to me, oh my God, look at how they did it on Acadians. And I'm like, wait a minute. A lot of these kids missed first grade instruction, pandemic. Garden was interrupted. We jumped to conclusions too fast without giving kids the proper level of support. And one thing about also that tier one. Now, say you have a class, they're doing second grade foundations. Foundations is a brilliant program, but second grade foundations is complex. My personal belief is that all classes should be doing phonics at the same time. And then kids can either go to one class or another or a teacher swap, so that it meets the needs of where those kids are at, because some kids just can't keep up, because even when the test is re-given, they're still struggling.
That's what tier two and tier three are for. So
I don't see a lot of it happening.
So, you know, my best friends are teachers, and I was out to dinner with them last night, and they are veterans and outstanding and highly lauded teachers. However, the district failings, Judy and Faith, lie with the teacher training. Mm-hmm. The teacher training, because many teachers they never grew up with phonics. Mm-hmm. They weren't taught in their college ed about the evidence for structured literacy and explicit instruction. They weren't taught this. And instead of districts focusing on, okay, how do we do this? How do we bridge the gap? Because Lakewood also has Teachers College. And I'll be meeting with the superintendent and the director of instruction in a couple weeks. But how do you have all this material? You've spent millions of dollars for TC. Right. How do you make it work? You have to train your teachers and how the brain learns to read and what they do. And guess what? Teachers can't do anymore. You know what? I was reading, you know, I'm doing a lot of different things, but you know, when you're progress monitoring, central office, come on, central office staff, come and go to a school and progress, learn how to do progress monitoring and do it. Because the teachers, the classroom teachers, and I left as a classroom teacher. I was never a coach. I taught whole language a long time ago and it didn't work. But the teachers can't do anymore. So the system, the top level administrators need to figure out how they can get their hands dirty as practitioners and find out what it's really like in the schools when you're testing or intervening.
Yeah, but I think it's important for teachers to also have time to collect data. I think it is important because I know, but they have to at least know what the data is looking for, because how can you, you know, have great student outcomes if you are not feeling what the data is, you know, or feeling what's being assessed. They have to know a little bit. They, you know, I'm assessing for some schools, the whole school. So who's doing a lot of the learning and who's doing a lot of seeing what's going on? Me.
But the teachers know, they do formative assessments every single day. Judy, when they pull groups, that's a formative assessment. When they're
that progress monitoring with Acadians takes 1 minute.
They don't have time when you have behavior problems, when you have social, emotional, depression, and all this other stuff.
Well, schools have to figure out a system and structure for RTI, and I don't think they figured it out. I do want to give one book plug. My boss, Andrew Fletcher from Universal Literacy, gave us this book. Did you guys ever see this one? Mm-mm. It's called The Principles Primer for Raising Reading Achievement. It's by Letters Training. It's by Patty Montgomery and Louisa Motes. And it goes into how to set up a successful RTI program in your schools. So, and awesome. That starts on page 17, and it's pretty fabulous. So,
but I think that there are schools where it's set up. Structure is set.
Can you invite me to go see them?
I'm telling you that the structure of RTI with the dates, when they're going to benchmark, when they're going to progress monitor. In many schools, that is set. The problem really is that the data a lot of times is not accurate. Sometimes teachers are rushing through just doing it because they know it has to go somewhere.
I don't know.
Well, I could tell you that I was in a school and teachers would feel pressured to have to go to meetings to talk about different students. And if they did not have their data ready, they were rushing to try to fill in the blanks just to have something to bring with them.
Well, I think Acadians just help it. I think with Acadians, there's very little room for error. It's 1 minute and it's you're not giving kids points for something they're not doing. I'm pretty confident it's pretty accurate as a screener.
Well, all I could say is that as long as we keep in certain types of strategies along with evidence-based programs, it's a wash. It absolutely eliminates whatever good was done in that other program. And that's why I'm working with a school district now here on Long Island, and they brought in a program called Sounds Right.
Right.
But part of bringing in this program was saying they were going to get rid of leveled books in kindergarten, because there would be no point in doing balanced literacy, the guided reading groups, the way it was always done. They ended up investing in decodable books for kindergarten. And then those books, okay, they're there for those kids who actually, as you said, Mary, could read already. But if we don't change all of those pieces, RTI is not worth a thing. It really isn't. There's no point in saying, oh, this kid should wait to go through the different progress monitoring points, and the kid is waiting and waiting and being progress monitored and then sent on to another tier and then progress monitored, because again, we don't know if it's even accurate if we're not
100% right. You're 100% right. And what, unfortunately, what's happening in a lot of schools with RTI systems that are not functioning well, instead of giving kids the proper level of support, they just hold the kid back. Is that the solution? Is that fair to the kid?
No. And the other thing is, you know, if we do look at data objectively, so if the story is all about data, the data shows, and we've all said it, that kid, like a good portion, a good contingent of kids are not learning how to read. They are, like you said, Judy, leaving second grade, going to third grade, and they don't read.
Not all of them. Some are doing great.
Some are, of course. I'm not saying all.
But there's some kids that looked at those reading passages and they couldn't read a word. It killed
them. Right. So guess what that tells us? It tells us we have to go back to the making the reading recipe, right? Making reading right again. And so we have to go back to tier one and change that instruction. That's why I applaud the New York City Chancellor for making it very public about getting rid of Teachers College. And the New York Times comment section blew up with that news. I couldn't even write a comment. One teacher here that I know, he screenshotted one of the New York Times comments and said this teacher felt so vindicated, validated, because she received so much retribution for not following. So when in TC, they must have been telling teachers, go forth, and if people aren't following it implicitly with fidelity, and I want to hear your accountable talk, then they were reprimanded. Mm-hmm. So there was absolutely no art of teaching. There was absolutely no consideration. I have a master's degree in reading, and I'm highly qualified in reading. But there was none of that. So even when I was saying, hey, and all these teachers across our country are saying, there's something wrong, we were shut down. So it does go back to RTI, because everything relates back to RTI. Because if the program is crap, if it's rotten, and it's not rotten for all, but it's rotten for a good number of people, then we have to change what we're doing.
That's right. But we can't just change the 30 minutes that it's phonics time. We have to re-look at the whole literacy block and see what's going on during the entire block. And true. That's my fear. That is my biggest fear, that they're going to say, that's it. Foundations is happening in every school and that's enough. No, it's not enough. It's not enough. Right. We have to look at that whole literacy block. And that's my fear. My fear is that we're still going to see a lot of schools that are not using anything.
Okay.
That the teachers are still writing the curriculum.
You know, I heard from somebody who said to me, oh, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Meaning that there was something good in this to hold on to. But my question is, then what exactly is that? What part of that? Is it the writing? I don't think the writing produced writers.
No,
if you were to look at high school writing, middle school writing, right. And these kids grew up on TC reading and writing,
right.
They can't even put a sentence together.
Yeah.
And then we're always layering on top again, because the program had you shouldn't even call it a program, the whole philosophy of it.
Right.
Really had so many holes that they, we have to get a writing program in. So, let's bring in the writing revolution. Oh, it doesn't have a good phonics piece. Well, let's bring in, like you said, right. Foundations. Oh, let's bring this in. Let's bring that in. And it's because nothing really was working very well. But somewhere along the way, people were made to believe we still need to hold on to this.
But there were some things happening there.
Tier one instruction, when we hold on to something that does not serve us well, and yet we think by adding on We're going to fill those holes. And what happens is all the teachers are just overwhelmed by it all. They're trying to piece
it. Yeah, and there, a lot of teachers are confused. My teachers are like, how do you expect me to do this? We don't have decoder.
Right. It's not possible.
But the one thing that Lucy's program did have, which a lot of other programs don't have, is they taught kids how to do some reading behaviors. And yes, I know a lot of people are going to be angry, but yes, you do have to sometimes teach kids how to point the words for that one-to-one correspondence. And yes, you do have to teach kids how to look at a word and slide through a point of difficulty. And I'm worried that a lot of these other programs don't teach kids those explicit skills. You have to show kids how you think aloud. And I haven't seen a lot of programs that do that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let me just bring in Catherine from Kansas. This was her comment in the New York Times. I and many of my colleagues have fought hard for over a decade against this reading and writing curriculum. We have been reprimanded, written up, been called difficult, unprofessional, and closed-minded. Our teaching has been policed to see if we had the correct anchor charts and posters up in our classroom. True. Our lessons have been timed and our evaluations poor because we did not stick to the timings and exact words of Lucy. We sat through endless professional development by trainers who do nothing but teach us how to teach the program. There is no depth to the professional development from Lucy's legion of trainers. We have spoken out in concern that the growing gap between those that can and cannot read or write because of this curriculum only to be ignored. Finally, it's being exposed.
Well, exposure is one thing. Let's pray for all of our kids. Let's pray for all of our teachers that what's coming next is going to produce the results that we want. That's all that we all want, right? But there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee because, you know, TC now will have another version of the same thing.
Yeah, I heard.
And that's the problem that, you know, and this is why I think being vocal is important because people will say, oh, well, now we have to buy this and we have to add on to what we have. And I put up on my Facebook page, just say no that, you know, schools have to make a decision to say enough is enough with this. These are kids' lives. And of course, RTI is not working unless we have to rethink what we're doing now. If it's not working for most of the kids, that's how you judge what's working. You right. have to see your data and it should be meeting the expectations that are desired, which would be 80 to 85%.
Right, and we should have never gotten to this point because we can't just blame teachers and blah, blah, blah. Principals have to be accountable too. Principals have to be accountable too. If they're choosing something, their data needs to be looked at very carefully. And when it's not working, it can't continue. Why do these mistakes that some schools are making, whether it be with TC or a different program, if it's not working, why does it keep happening year after year?
Because I'll tell you why I think it's happening. Because Teachers College, if you go back to the history of Teachers College, Teachers College was the place, that place where the project model first started. Started in the early 1900s, the project model. Mm-hmm. So people would look from all over the country at what TC was doing. It was progressive at the time. And so what happened was these people who got their master's from Teachers College ended up going all over the country. People wanted them because it's an Ivy League, the school to go to. So if you had a degree in TC, from TC, boy, you must really know what you're doing.
Right.
And everybody fell for it. Everybody fell for this because this was the current thinking. It was the progressive thinking at the time that the project model was doing what it was supposed to be doing. And so you have all these administrators across the country who were trained, who might have gone to Columbia themselves, or their professors were Columbia graduates. And this has ended up staying. This model has lasted for years and years and years.
But it's not the only model. It's not. And I think I'm a little different in the sense that I'm more of a solution-based person. We could keep
talking about. And I'm not.
No, of course you are. And I love you to pieces, and I love Mary to pieces. But I think that, you know, we spend so much time saying this stinks, this stinks, this stinks. Let's come up with some solutions.
I don't think so. No, not at all.
That I think we're saying the solution, I think, and Mary, I don't want to speak for you, but I think that what we're trying to say is the solution would be not just that it stinks, but to really make some hard decisions. Like I mentioned Lynbrook, it was a hard decision for those district administrators.
Right.
Say enough is enough. When every other school district on Long Island is doing something like TC, all right? They said, well, we want to do something different and we're going to get rid of what doesn't work.
So
and
that's good.
Brave and bold.
And so it's not that, so the reason why I'm bringing up TC is because it's a current issue and it is being read about, talked about, discussed in schools across our country. And so because I can say we need to move away. We know what works, Judy. So every single day I teach students from third grade to 10th grade. Their school districts were not able to teach them how to read for whatever reason. I follow a structure, evidence-based, and guess what? They are all reading and reading well. But what are they learning?
Besides Wilson, though, what's the program besides Wilson that you're using?
Oh, I'm only doing Wilson because I'm a Wilson. But you know what, Judy, we can come up in the next episode with lots.
But I want another episode where we really look at different options because I've seen other programs that didn't do that well.
Hey, but you know what? Like when I was in school, we had the Plaid workbooks. When I was teaching in the last,
familiar to me too, actually.
So this is like word study. So every fourth through eighth grader should be learning morphology. Okay, so take a look: roots, compounds, possessives, contractions, syllables. I mean, suffixes and plurals. Guys, you need to teach this stuff.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, there's programs on the market like Wit and Wisdom. There's programs like
Amplify,
ReadyGen. But I want to know the data and if they're the solution that we're all looking for.
No program, we're not endorsing a program, but you have to teach phonics. I don't care how you teach it.
That's 100%, I think.
It has to be repetitive. And you know what, like we can go on and on, but Susan Barton, there are explicit structured programs. Lucy Calkins Teacher College is not it. That's why we have such a reading crisis. And not only that, I'm not blaming all on Lucy. Guess what? You've spent billions of dollars, district administrators, in every district in every state. You are not teaching teachers how reading happens. Very few people have any reading degree that are administrators. They have no idea. They don't even know what happens in the brain. What happens in the brain of somebody with dyslexia?
Or they
why does that happen? They don't know.
Degrees, but the reading degrees that they have did not cover this.
But you know what? I think no, because there are people that know, and I know many people that have reading degrees who know exactly what the recipe is. It is rocket science. It's rocket science. Reading is, but it's not a mystery. We know exactly. So guess what? Parents, this is my final word, because I get so upset because I see kids every day who did not, their parents are taking a second mortgage out on their house so they can pay for tutoring. Why? Because perhaps the instructional program is not okay. Parents, if your child is not making, I'm also a dyslexia advocate. If your child is not making gains in tier two or tier three, you put a formal request in writing. This is per IDEA 2004, that you want a formal evaluation. You do not, and by the way, you do not have to wait for RTI. If the school tells you that we have to wait and see what the data shows through RTI, not true. So please, if your student is not making progress, ask for a formal educational evaluation. That's it.
So my last word is that if your school is still using a mix of different strategies to teach children where there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and the kids are not making progress, rather than keep fighting year after year, because that's what happens. Year after year, they're always fighting, you know, to get different services. Maybe group together with other parents and start trying to get change from the bottom up. That's tier right. one change. Because otherwise, you're going to be at this every single year trying to get services for your child. And then if that interventionist leaves and then another one comes in, it might not be the same. It's a cycle that I see in my private practice where parents are constantly looking to have the school district provide the right services. And my feeling about that is, yeah, you could keep trying, but as long as the gen ed instruction is faulty, it's never going to be right. Everything, it's just like, you know, it's just breaks from the bottom. It's a poor foundation and it's never going to be right unless you start trying to get the change from the bottom up. So I think just like the city is saying enough is enough, these smaller school districts, maybe it's about time that parents at community school board meetings insisted on different gen ed instruction starting in kindergarten. That's my last word.
Judy.
And my last word is, teachers, look at your data. Don't do it just for compliance. Set small goals. See if your kids are making progress. Ask for help when you need. If you can't collect all that data, you might have a coach or somebody in your building that can help support you. Also, keep learning. My journey has been a very interesting one. Don't stop learning. Look at the programs. Look at the science. Continue to push yourself. I just got trained in Orton Gillingham. I'm in letters training. Been doing this for 24 years. Don't stop learning. Keep learning and be open-minded. And lastly, for my parents, ask to see the data that they're collecting for your kids. If the school says, oh, we don't have it, or we can't show you, that's a problem.
Excellent. Last point. Excellent. Okay. This was a hot one. And we will see you for our next episode. Thank you, everybody.